two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station. The KSL 5 o'clock report begins.
Good afternoon, I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story on the 5 o'clock report. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints says it opposes a proposed rule here in Utah that would ban conversion therapy. In a statement, the church says it's concerned the rule is ambiguous and overreaches. KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce is live now. Kelly, break down why the church opposes this.
Jeff, to be clear, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is not against banning conversion therapy. However, in a letter to the Utah Division of Occupational and Professional Licensing, the church says it's opposed to the current rules being drafted because they believe they're too vague in key areas and don't give enough accommodations for people's religious beliefs, for example, on issues of children's gender identity. It's unclear what the church's opposition would do, with gay rights groups and the public mostly supportive of the changes, as well as Governor Herbert's earlier commitment to base any conversion ban on science. Now, gay conversion therapy has come under fire in recent years, with many people saying it's abusive and ineffective. Live at the state capitol, Kelly Pierce, KSL News Radio.
Well, the two Salt Lake City mayoral candidates agree on conversion therapy. Your voice, your vote 2020. Lindsay Ertz is live at the KSL Elections Desk.
Jeff, Aaron Mendenhall calls the practice an abomination. She wants it illegal in Utah and says if elected, she'll advocate for the permanent ban. She's also calling on other state leaders to condemn it. Luz Escamilla's campaign says she, too, is against conversion therapy and agrees with a statement from state Senate Democrats who support the proposed rule, the statement says, until legislative action can be taken. Live at the KSL Elections Desk, Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 501, a Park City school is getting a cease and desist for a class it's teaching. Nick Wyatt is here with the story.
Jeff, this is over a new sex education and anti-bullying program. A group of parents in the Park City School District sent that cease and desist letter to Trailside Elementary and the school district. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson is live with the details. Paul, what's their main concern?
Well, the parents group says that Welcoming Schools, that program, teaches political doctrine about the LGBT community to young kids. District spokesperson Melinda Colton says parents are welcome to voice their concerns if they have any.
If we've got one parent that isn't happy about it, it's something that we can look at and something that we can decide whether or not this is appropriate for this age group.
She says the program is state approved but not state mandated, so teachers would not be required to teach everything in that program. However, she says the cease and desist letter was not necessary. They've decided to hit the pause button on implementing the program until they study it more. Reporting live, Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Thank you, Paul. Extra police officers were in the halls of Union High School and Roosevelt Junior High School today in Duchesne County. This following a reported threat made on Snapchat. District officials say it appears a student made a post saying he was bringing a gun to school. The credibility of that threat could not be verified, but students were interviewed by police. A Utah Highway Patrol officer got more than he bargained for after responding to a call of a car stuck on the Front Runner tracks in Centerville.
And I heard the horn from a train. I looked to my left and I was able to observe that train was coming pretty fast, anywhere between 50 and 80 miles an hour. So at that point, I was a little bit concerned about that.
You can hear all about this amazing rescue coming up at 5:15 during the KSL In-Depth. House Democratic leaders stormed out of a meeting with President Trump this afternoon aimed at talking about Syria. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Nick, members of Congress who attended the meeting at the White House say they were insulted by the president's comments. The Senate minority leader saying the president attacked Nancy Pelosi instead of answering questions about Turkey's attacks in northern Syria. Pelosi says the president suffered a meltdown.
I pray for the president all the time, and I tell him that. I pray for his safety and that of his family. I think now we have to pray for his health, because this was a very serious meltdown on the part of the president.
Earlier today, the House overwhelmingly passed legislation that condemns the president's withdrawal of American forces from northern Syria.
Two-thirds being in the affirmative, the joint resolution is agreed to.
Now, the withdrawal has led to new attacks in the region, including the targeting of Kurdish fighters who helped beat back ISIS. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer saying the vote should help pressure the White House to take action to correct the situation.
We're going to make a strong case that he's got to fix the mess up that he made, the huge, damaging mess that he made.
And Utah Senator Mitt Romney joining the chorus, criticizing the president's decision to pull those troops. He says the administration should have negotiated with Turkey before the pullout.
The reality is the decision was made by this administration, which has led to the Turks going in to Syria and wiping out our friends, the Kurds.
Romney says at this stage, the administration is just trying to cover itself and act tough. Live at the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:05.
First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. We're brought to you by Mountain America's lowest Visa rate ever. Here's Ricky Meese.
It's still a rough ride northbound on I-15 from about 6 south, just after 6 south in the North Temple area up to the North Interchange. And for those trying to avoid these delays, northbound Highway 89 going from the Capitol into North Salt Lake is jammed up, as well as northbound I-215's west belt from the 201 up to Legacy. We also have delays on northbound I-15 going from Bluffdale to the South Interchange. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time 5:05. Back to Nick Wyatt.
Jeff, this month marks the 100th anniversary of Utah ratifying the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, that amendment providing women equal voting rights. State Senator Deidre Henderson joined KSL's Inside Sources this afternoon to talk about the women's suffrage movement and Utah's leadership role in the battle. Yes, it's true.
Utah was one of the very first states to grant women the right to vote back in 1870. We were the second state to do so. But our women in Utah actually voted. We're the first in the nation to vote under equal suffrage laws. And in 1919, most women in the country did not yet have the right to vote. Utah women had been voting for a long time. But we were very, you know, careful and clear to make sure that other women had the same rights that we had. So in October 3rd, actually, of 1919, 100 years ago, our legislature unanimously passed the resolution granting ratify the 19th Amendment. Even though our women could already vote, we were the very first suffrage state to actually go ahead and ratify the amendment so that other women could also have that right.
To celebrate equal voting rights in Utah, an original copy of the Senate resolution was on display today at the Utah State Capitol. So they're celebrating women's suffrage at the legislature today, but you can also expect them to focus heavily on changing the tax structure this coming session. House Speaker Brad Wilson says at some point Utah will need user fees for transportation.
Gas historically has been a proxy for that, but as the economy's changing and technology's changing, the gas tax probably in 15 years may not be super reflective of user charges.
Wilson says Utah's growth means infrastructure needs are outpacing the ability to pay for them, but he would like to see an income tax cut for Utahns before the end of the year. Wasatch Boulevard is now open between 4500 and 6200 South after being closed for nearly 3 days. The Salt Lake Department of Public Utilities says a water main break is repaired and asphalt is now in place. They also fixed broken valves in Sugar House on Highland Drive. Residents in that area may need to run tap water until it runs clear. Time for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News at 8 minutes and 38 minutes past every hour, brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
The word, really isn't a word. It's a placeholder. The news media typically edits out the word, when politicians speak. But today I wanted to do a minute of news about the new taco editor for Texas Monthly Magazine. Jose Relat is the only person in America with the job title of taco editor. So doing my research and listening to him, I realized that, well, listen.
The tacos and the way it's grown, the flour has to be very specific.
Jose Rolat is a stutterer. He's very public about it and has become sort of a hero in the stuttering community. In his words, don't apologize for who you are, especially when you've done nothing wrong. My problem is that KSL gives me a minute of news here. I have a time constraint. Am I supposed to edit out the stuttering to fit the story into a minute? I mean, it seems disrespectful to take something that's a part of who this man is and just cut it out to make him perfect for my purposes. I don't have an answer. So this afternoon I asked Jose Rolat, taco editor of Texas Monthly, is it offensive to edit your stutter? Jose said with the time constraint you have, editing is necessary and it's not offensive. So there's a little bit about how the sausage is made here, and tomorrow we'll talk about the tacos. The moral of the story is, if you don't want to offend, just ask. I also asked Jose Rolat, what's the best taco in Salt Lake City? He did research here. He's one of the greatest taco experts in America. And his answer is tomorrow's Minute.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Triple Team Traffic brought to you by Mountain America's lowest visa rate ever. Delay southbound I-15 from the I-80 201 interchange through Midvale, northbound I-15 jammed up Bluffdale to the south interchange. And again, going through Murray, where we had an earlier crash that's now cleared after 45th South. Slowdown eastbound I-215 South Belt Redwood Road to I-15. Michelle?
Well, Bangor Highway still real busy, seeing delays spanning from Salt Lake down to the Riverton area. We also have reports of a crash that is southbound at 6200 South, causing delays there as well. Rounding the point of the mountain, southbound I-15, slow and go, stop and go traffic spanning in spots from there, from 146 South all the way down to Linden. Redwood Road also busy, Camp Williams to Saratoga Springs. Steve?
And if you're trying to leave downtown Salt Lake City, northbound I-15 is packed in from 6 South up to the North Interchange due to an earlier crash. Then it clears out with a lighter-than-usual drive from Lagoon all the way up to Ogden. Southbound I-15 slow, Riverdale to Sunset. Northbound 89 is already cleared out from the Farmington split, but still slow from South Weber Drive up to I-84. Performance Automotive in Bountiful, hassle-free pricing, and the best selection of pre-owned vehicles. They'll put a smile on your face. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. And here's Kevin Eubank with your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report. An hour-by-hour description as we head toward Thursday.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, mostly sunny skies but increasing clouds along the Wasatch Front. Temperatures in the mid-70s at 5 o'clock. Low 70s for 6, upper 60s for 7, and mid-60s for 8 and 9. Ultimate lows will be mild with a south wind in the mid-50s. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
A few clouds, blue sky for the most part, 75 in Salt Lake City. KSL News Time 5:11. And we go in-depth now with Maria Chaleos.
And Jeff, four adult bison were released into a newly expanded habitat in the Badlands National Park in South Dakota. You can see them right now on the KSL News Radio app. You see the animals as they run under the snowy, windy plains. This is an important step in growing the population of America's National Monument. It's the first time bison have set foot on this land since 1877. Now, the return of the bison was 5 years in the making. The park's herd right now, they have about 1,200. But they're currently in an area where people can't see them. Multiple groups came together to raise the money to make sure that they could install fencing around the expanded range area and cattle guards to keep the bison from crossing into areas where they shouldn't be.
Looks like a snowy antelope island, sort of. But aren't they better off if people can't see them? I mean, really, right?
They might agree with you.
KSL News Time 5:12. Thank you, Maria. Right now, there's nationwide concern over possible shortages of a drug used in the treatment of pediatric cancer. The drug, vincristine, is used to treat the most common childhood cancer, acute lymphoblastic leukemia. In July, one of two companies that manufacture the drug announced they were discontinuing production. Teva says it has not contributed to the shortage that's being experienced today. Pfizer, which also makes the drug, they say they aim to increase production during the coming weeks. A fire on L Avenue in Salt Lake City spread to two houses this morning. Fire Captain Tony Stowe says they called out a second alarm very quickly to get a handle on the flames.
Proximity of the houses together during this period when they were building these, most of them you can stand between them and touch both walls at one time. And so as you can imagine, that makes the spread of fire very rapid.
Crews are on the scene for several hours to open walls so no flames or hot spots remain in either home. One of the stories we're following on the 5 o'clock report, a group of junior-ranking Navy officers are urging the Naval Academy to accommodate their religious beliefs, just as they do for other groups. News of the request went viral when a leaked email mentioned satanic services being offered on the campus. KSL's Nick Wyatt is here to explain. Nick, what's going on here?
Jeff, this group of U.S. Naval Academy midshipmen who follow the Satanic Temple religion, well, they want a place they can meet and discuss their shared common beliefs. An email explaining the request was leaked, and yes, it did mention satanic services. And to explain, the Satanic Temple doesn't actually believe in Satan or magic. It just advocates for people being compassionate, empathetic, and a whole bunch of other things. But an Academy spokesperson is clarifying, saying all these people want is a study space, and adds they're not asking for an area to sacrifice any living creatures or to burn pentagrams into a field. So there's that offered without comment.
All right, none here. Trending on social media, Deadpool 3. One of the writers confirms the script is done. They're waiting for the rubber stamp of approval from Marvel. And if you're hoping Marvel might water down the salty language, not going to happen. The writers say they're expecting the movie will be rated R. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
a UHP trooper pulled an unconscious man from a car stuck on Front Runner tracks in Centerville today. The man and trooper escaped without injury before the train smashed into the car. I'm Nick Wyatt.
Second, this month marks the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, giving equal voting rights to women. Utah was the first state in the nation to allow women to vote. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot brought to you by Mountain America's lowest visa rate ever.
A new crash on the transition ramp from northbound I-15 to connect to westbound I-80 in Salt Lake City. It is on the right. Heavy delays tonight. Northbound I-215's West Belt from SR-201 all the way to Legacy. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Clouds are moving in and a storm is on the horizon. I'm Kevin Eubanks.
75 degrees now. KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Democrats call it insulting. The White House calls it baffling. And Republicans say the conduct was unbecoming. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Democrats walked out of a bipartisan White House meeting on Syria after he says President Trump insulted them.
He said that there are communists involved and you guys might like that. I mean, this was not a dialogue. It was sort of a diatribe, a nasty diatribe, not focused on the facts.
In a statement, the White House calls the decision to walk out baffling, while House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy calls Nancy Pelosi's conduct unbecoming of a speaker.
We're only 13 months away from an election, but her entire focus and the entire time of their majority has been nothing but an investigation.
The House today overwhelmingly voted to condemn President Trump's withdrawal of American forces from Syria, which led to an attack on civilians and Kurdish forces by Turkey. A senior Trump administration official confirms to ABC News that President Trump wrote Turkey's president a letter a few days after his announcement.
In a letter to the Turkish president, Mr. Trump says, quote, "Let's work out a deal. You don't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people, and I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy, and I will." He ends the letter addressing the Turkish president saying, "History will look upon you favorably if you get this done the right and humane way. It will look upon you forever as the devil if good things don't happen. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool. I will call you later. Sincerely, Donald Trump."
ABC's Andy Field in Washington. The New Orleans Fire Department says the operation at a collapsed hotel construction site has moved from rescue to recovery. It's believed one worker is still missing in the rubble. Police say Tarzan actor Ron Ely's wife was stabbed to death in their Southern California home by the couple's son, who officers then shot to death. You're listening to ABC News.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. A Utah Highway Patrol trooper is being called a hero following a life-saving rescue early this morning. I don't think I'm giving anything away here when I point out this hero trooper is quite the humble guy. Here's the story from KSL News Radio's John Wojcik.
Trooper Ruben Correa would say that he was fortunate to be at the right place at the right time and that he was simply doing his job. But that fails to tell even half the story of what happened Wednesday morning.
So I was on a traffic stop, northbound 15, just south of 200 West in Farmington, at approximately 6:45 a.m.
At that time, a report came in of a vehicle on the UTA tracks off I-15 between Pages and Parrish Lanes near Centerville. Trooper Correa responded to the call and upon arrival found a man inside the car.
I saw he was unconscious. So I opened his door, explained to him we got to get out. He wasn't responding.
In addition to an unconscious driver, he also was racing against the clock as a singular light in the darkness was quickly barreling down the tracks.
Let's go, get out of here. We got a train coming.
Spokesperson with UTA Carl Arkey says not only is a front-runner train fast, but it's also hard to slow down.
It can get up to 79 miles per hour top speed, and at that speed, it takes about a mile for the train to slow down and stop.
With about 3 seconds to spare, Trooper Correa pulled the man who was suffering from a medical emergency out of the car into safety as his car was obliterated by the train. Trooper Correa, a 2-year veteran with Highway Patrol and a former Marine, says his sole focus was getting the man out alive to see his family again. That's something that, fortunately, they both now will be able to do. John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
Humility is quite the virtue. KSL News Time 519. We're done with emergency traffic, yes, Ricky?
We are done with emergency traffic.
Triple Team Traffic, brought to you by Mountain, America's lowest Visa rate ever. Well, here we go.
But it's still pretty rough in spots out there. Right now, I'm looking at southbound delays on I-215's west belt between I-80 almost to 4700 south. Then more slowdowns on the south belt going eastbound Redwood Road over to the south interchange. Southbound I-15 delays go from 1300 south through Midvale. Northbound slowdowns, Bluffdale up to the south interchange. And westbound on the 201, heavy and slow in spots, I-15 out to Magna. Michelle?
Well, westbound I-80 reports of a vehicle fire at 7200 West causing delays in the area. Bangor Highway, congestion, Salt Lake to Bluffdale, and Point of the Mountains, southbound I-15, busy at 146 South in spots to Linden. Steve?
And slowdowns for southbounders on Foothill Drive, stretching from the corner bakery out to 2100 South. Northbound 15, solid delays. 21st South up to the North Interchange, mostly leftovers from an earlier wreck, which is cleared. Then it clears out, you're back up to speed. More slowdowns, though, through Layton. Southbound I-15 slow from Ogden-Hinkley Airport down to Clearfield, and southbound 89 busy through Uinta as you approach I-84. At Cache Valley Hospital Emergency Center, the current wait time, only 2 minutes. Text ER to 32222 and get the ER wait time to the Mountain Star Hospital near you. Steve Carlson, the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together on the nines. We have the 7-day forecast, and here's Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Temperatures today up in the upper 70s in Salt Lake City. Tonight, we'll stay in the mid-50s with breezy south winds and increasing clouds ahead of a cold front that'll move in tomorrow afternoon. That cold front will drop temperatures and bring us a chance for a little bit of valley rain. Highs on Friday will only be in the mid-50s, so extra cool. Our next storm will move in Saturday afternoon. That will bring valley rain mixing with valley snow into Sunday morning. Lows dip into the 30s with highs in the 40s. Partly cloudy skies early next week with temperatures back in the 50s. Sunshine through Tuesday, Wednesday. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 75 degrees in Salt Lake, 76 in Provo. KSL News Time, 522 and